When Neil Armstrong made his historic first step on the moon almost 50 years ago, the silicone rubber in his boots was made along the banks of the Hudson River in Waterford, New York, just north of Albany in Saratoga County. The plant, once owned by General Electric, began operations in 1947. It's now Momentive Performance Materials. The plant was the scene of a strike from November 2016 until February of last year, with health benefits a major demand of the workers. Journalist Ian Frisch recently wrote a story about the strike for Long Reads. He spoke with us about the strike and why health care was so important to the workers.
I had seen a flyer kind of circulating around social media about the strike, which was put out by the union, and there was a short little sentence at the end where it said that, you know, health care is a main issue for these workers. Not because it's a benefit that they deserve, but because a lot of the men are leaving the plant with illnesses due to long-term exposure at the plant, namely cancer. And when I read that one sentence, which was really tucked down at the bottom of this flyer, I said, wait, what? Wait, like that kind of took me back. And that was really, really kind of honed in on. So when I went up to the strike and saw it firsthand, I was not only digging into all the intricacies of this new union contract that they were battling against, but also about the underlying issue of workplace illness.
You talk about a man, a striker named Jack Mack. Who is Jack Mack, and how is he important to this issue?
So Jack Mack is, you know, a really longstanding employee there. He just retired earlier this year, but he spent 4 decades working at Momentive. His father worked there. His brother worked there. You know, he's kind of an archetype of the local population. You know, this place has been there since the 40s, and you know, these jobs are kind of passed down from generation to generation. But Jack had something that no one really else had when I showed up there, and he had a list. He had a list of dozens, over 80 workers, dead and alive, who had cancer, presumably from exposure to chemicals there. And Jack himself was diagnosed with cancer. His brother was diagnosed with cancer. His father died of cancer. So Jack was one of the first people that I met who understood this issue firsthand and who was a great conduit to finding other employees willing to speak out about their history in the plant and what they're dealing with now.
Was this problem with cancer and illness, isolated to one part of the plant, or was it facility-wide?
Well, you know, a lot of my reporting, there's a huge chunk of this article focusing specifically on Building 78, which was extremely problematic and had actually kind of earned the ominous nickname the One Nut Club, for reasons that I think people can infer. So I focused on that building because I was able to obtain documents related to the health concerns and concerns for chemical exposure in that building. But a lot of other documents that I obtained pointed to similar hazards in different parts of the plant. You had Building 30, where carcinogenic chemicals are being handled by employees. So although I wasn't able to pin down hazards in every single aspect of this plant, which is a sprawling complex, I mean, it's like 700 acres. It is massive. It employs 700 people. You know, I think that the specific areas I did hone in on are indicative of a larger problem seen throughout the plant.
Did you talk to Momentive executives? What was their reaction? Did they call you back?
I mean, as the reporting went on, you know, and we knew what we had, and we fact-checked everything, and, you know, we went through all the back-end we needed to do to verify what we had discovered. You know, we had reached out to them with, you know, pretty straightforward questions about confirming that they used specific chemicals and that what we were citing was up to date and was accurate. But, you know, their responses was, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, we give them the tools they need to mitigate exposure. You know, they wear safety equipment. We have procedures, you know, to help thwart potential health hazards. And, you know, you have to realize that this plant was sold from GE, which founded it in the late 1940s, and was sold in 2006 to private equity firms, which changed the name to Momentive. So you have a little bit of this strange sort of overlap between what happened before the sale and, you know, before government regulation kind of came into play, maybe in the 1980s. You know, like I said, a lot of these men working here for 30, 40 years. So it's kind of like a, you know, kind of like a layer cake almost of things people endured and kind of running up to now when they're entering retirement and having to deal with this new contract and the effects of decades of exposure in this place.
Has OSHA at the federal level or state labor department officials in New York been contacted about this? Have they investigated it? What's the status of regulatory oversight?
In terms of this facility specifically, I do not think so. I mean, that's the thing with exposure to chemicals in the workplace and things related to health hazards. You know, to my knowledge, OSHA, you know, primarily investigates safety and injury, you know, and that's a huge distinction here is that there's a lot of gray area into who on the federal level or state level is responsible for making sure that workers in chemical plants or other areas that are handling potentially dangerous substances have the protection they need. You know, a lot of organizations like the EPA, they are worried about what these chemicals are going to do to the consumer or the environment, and then OSHA is coming in and saying, we want to make sure you're not going to get hurt on the job. But as I cite in my article, you are 8 times more likely to die from a workplace-related illness than you are from a workplace-related accident. So it seems to be that, you know, with this case specifically, I hope to illuminate that maybe there's a little bit more going on that we should kind of take a look at into what workers like Jack Mack, like Ron Gardner, like Joe DeVito, like everyone I spoke to kind of go through when they try to build a foundation for their family and try to live like a pretty typical middle-class life.
The strike lasted about 10 weeks, November 2nd, 2016 to the 14th of February, 2017. Did the workers get what they want?
Depends on who you ask, you know? And that's kind of the thing, too, that I kind of saw was that the younger guys, you know, maybe in their 30s, who had been there for maybe 6, 7 years, they're like, I got kids at home, you know? Like, I want to go back to work. Like, let's just get it over with. Like, I'll take the concession. Like, it doesn't matter. I need money for my family right now. I'll deal with the health care issue later. And I talked to the older guys who are entering retirement who, if they didn't get the contract that they were pushing for, they would have no health insurance. You leave on your last day and you're on your own. And maybe you wake up 2 weeks later with throat cancer and you have to pay out of pocket, you know. But in the end of the day, in terms of health care, the retirees weren't able to get direct coverage, but the company would give them a $40,000 flat payment before taxes, which is roughly $23,000, $24,000 after taxes, which would hopefully cover any medical expenses between the age of 60 and 65, at which time you would be eligible for Medicare. So I think a lot of people were disappointed, but perhaps not devastated, because leaving that place with nothing would be much worse than leaving you know, with $23,000.
Ian Frisch recently wrote an article about the strike at Momenta Performance Materials in Waterford, New York for Longreads. WAMC News contacted the company for comment, but we did not hear back.